My name's Christy, and I'm really glad to be back with you again. A lot of familiar faces here. So, thought we could begin by talking about where we end up. Every single week, you end your services in a similar way. I've noticed there's a lot of routine, right? A lot of repetition. So let's try it out. I need some participation today. Are you ready? You ready for me? Don't cheat. Don't flip ahead. Don't look. Here it is. Go in peace to
love.
Oh yeah, that's a good sign off, isn't it? And if I were on a ham radio and I wanted to finish up a call, I might say over and
out.
Yeah. And there was this guy, Edward Murrow, in the 50s, and you know how he used to close out his show? He used to say good night and good luck. Oh, I went too far back. Oh, look at that. It's a young group here this morning, guys. All right. And then Walter Cronkite, let's try that. His productions ended with, and that's the way it is. That's right. And that's the way it is. We have these sign-offs, and they become somewhat comforting to us. Things that we carry, things that we know, they're cues to us that something's wrapping up. And if we're honest, we could almost dismiss those sign-offs, couldn't we? We could almost just say, oh, we're winding down, we're ready to go. That's right, yep, go in peace, to love and serve the Lord. See you later. That means time's out, right? Time for lunch. There are sign-offs in Scripture too. And I want us to be so careful not to throw them away. So this morning, I want us to look together at a very familiar passage. In fact, it may be the most familiar passage of Scripture for most people. It's the Lord's Prayer. I want us to look at that together, and I want us to consider the sign-off in that prayer. Because I think Jesus had great intention in the words that he chose. Now, some of you are like doing it in your head. What's the sign off? What's the sign off? Let's do it together. Yours is the kingdom and the
power
and the glory. That's right. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's the sign off. Whoa, those words are so loaded and so full of intention. For us, if we don't dismiss them, they will invite us into what I call the doxological attitude. That's right, the doxological attitude. And if we want to be like Jesus, we got to get this doxological attitude in our lives. We got to live from that place. Now, in order to open it up, sometimes what's really fascinating to do is to take one portion of Scripture and to hold it alongside another. To put two texts in tension can really help one text to open in a new way, particularly one that's so familiar that most of us could quote it, right? So what then would we put in tension with the Lord's Prayer? I want to invite you this morning to flip with me to Matthew 4. We are going to consider the three temptations of Jesus alongside the Lord's Prayer. And if you've not put these into conversation before, my prayer for us today is that this would open it up in a new way to you, and that you would see how I really believe Jesus is, as he finishes this prayer, inviting us into a way of praying that will help us to address the three greatest temptations that you and I may face. Are you ready? Matthew 4, here we go. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward, he was famished. He was hungry, right? Of course, he was hungry. Most of us could not go a day without eating. Jesus has gone 40 days without eating. He's famished, Scripture tells us. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Whoa, what a great idea. Are you kidding me? I'm hungry. Yeah, you want me to command the stones to become? That sounds great. Have you ever walked into Panera and just smelled the air when you are hungry? Do you know what I'm saying? So Jesus, I mean, this is like a legit temptation right out of the gate, isn't it? This is big. This is big. Satan is hitting hard, right? The adversary is right at his biggest place of possible temptation. Food. The immediate. But is that really what this temptation is about? What he's really asking Jesus to do is, hey, you're hungry. Put yourself, put your own will ahead of the will of the Father. Go ahead and use the power you've got in a way that serves you rather than in a way that serves him. And so as Jesus sums up this prayer and teaches his disciples to pray, he has them pray, yours is the kingdom. Yours is the kingdom. Why do we need to remind ourselves that the kingdom is not ours? Listen, because you and I, when we pray, if we're honest, most often pray like this, don't we? Lord, I've got this great thing going on. Please come bless it. Lord, I've got this thing I'm working on. If you wouldn't mind just coming alongside it. Lord, I'm right here right now, and I'd like to do this. Could you please open that up? I'm preaching to myself this morning, of course, right? You and I, we're in this together. But we often invite Jesus into our kingdom rather than considering what his kingdom is inviting us into. And I've got to tell you, I've been challenged lately. That's a really small way of living when we elevate our own will before the will of the Father. And so Jesus, that's the first temptation, is, hey, elevate your own will. Give yourself some bread. Aren't you hungry? But Jesus doesn't do it, does it? Does he? He answers, it is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And he squashes that temptation. And at the close of the Lord's Prayer, he also invites us to consider who it is we're serving and to realign our hearts and our minds with this doxological attitude. Now, bear with me because I'm going to Greek out on you. I do that sometimes. This word kingdom is the basileia, and it literally means kingdom. It also means the authority. Yours is, let's see, I've got it written down really small. I do. Kingship, authority, and rule. Kingship, authority, and rule. So when we say God's kingdom, that sounds big. Maybe hard to put words around or understand. I like the way that Dallas Willard has described kingdom. And if you've never read Dallas Willard, I would encourage you to pick him up. He's phenomenal. Just a very godly man who had wonderful things to say about kingdom. So the kingdom of God can be best understood as the rule and the reign of God in our lives, every part of our lives. Hence the need to close out the Lord's Prayer with the reminder, yours is the kingdom. It's not mine. It's not my rule. It's not my authority. It's your authority, Lord. We are so tempted, aren't we, to build our own kingdoms? Particularly in the world in which we live, right? Let's be honest. We often judge one another based on size of kingdom. Didn't we just read about that? Didn't one of the texts just talk about how you might treat a rich person differently than a poor person? Oh my goodness. How about that? How those texts all come together. See, we're tempted to build our own kingdom. And most of us are concerned not just for today's bread, but tomorrow's bread, which might be one of the reasons that when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray and teaches us to pray, that he invites us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, and give us today our daily bread. We are living in the present, invited to participate in God's kingdom, which is so much bigger than our kingdom. The first part of the doxological attitude is understanding the invitation in to God's kingdom. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the kingdom. Second temptation, we're moving right along. Still in Matthew 4, I am picking up at 5. Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. What on earth is this command about? What is this temptation that Satan is giving to Jesus? What's the heart of this? Why does he say, throw yourself down? What an odd thing to say, right? This is all about power. This is all about producing results. Throw yourself down. Why? So we can see the angels come. Because Scripture says they'll come and you won't dash your head. That's what Scripture says. So prove it out. Go ahead, Jesus, produce something. Jump on down so we can see those angels come attend to you. Prove your power. Prove your power. See, I don't think it's coincidental that Jesus, when he teaches us to pray, invites us to say, yours is the kingdom, and then the power. That's right, the power. The power. This all connects, doesn't it? See how this opens it up? I get really excited about this. Greeking out again, the word for power is dynamis, and it means yours is the force, which means if I wanted to really bless you, I could say the force be with you, and that would be legit, wouldn't it? Yeah, because we're inviting the force of Christ into our lives, and his is the power. His is the dynamis. It's not mine. That is good news. You know, I woke up today with lower energy than usual. True story. And when I just sat here before I was invited to come up and speak to you, do you know what I just prayed? I just prayed, Lord, I'm really glad that yours is the power. I'm really glad it's not my power. It's not my dynamis that's going to be at work right now. Put your power on display. You see, that's the doxological attitude. It's never about us. In fact, Scripture tells us that when we're weak, he's what? Strong. Yeah, there it is. That dynamis, that power that's at work in us and through us. But it's not ours, it's his. And Jesus invites us to remember, yours is the power, the dynamis, the force, the might. Also translates the ability, the efficacy, the energy, the meaning. This is so challenging because you and I, maybe more me than you, I don't know, we'll find out in a second, we like to produce results. Anyone else like to check off a to-do list? Anyone else like to do things where you can show it that you've done it? To hold it up and say, look what I did today. Yeah, I like efficacy. I like results. This is a constant challenge for me. Do you know, I believe as we listen, that all of us will find one of these is more difficult than the other two. So for me, power is it. I could talk about this all day. I got lots of examples. We like rainmakers. Some of us, we like degrees. We like letters behind our names, right? We like to have titles. We like strength, physical strength. So the temptation here for Jesus is to misuse his power, right? Misuse your power to show us that you've got power. It reminds me of a song. I've got the power. Anyone else? Plays in my head sometimes. That is not where we are called to be, right? The thing is that Jesus did have the power, right? Wow, what a huge temptation. And that tells us that he didn't just face it the one time. But for Jesus, the misuse of power was a daily opportunity. Every single day he woke up with all the power. And every single day he used it only in the ways that the Father would have him to use it. Wow. Wow. So as we pray, we're invited to remind ourselves in this doxological attitude, yours is the kingdom, the basileia, and yours is the dynamis, the power. Not mine, yours. And there's one more. Oh, by the way, we didn't wrap that up, did we? Jesus said to him, again, it's written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So he did not give in to that temptation. And then, of course, there's one more temptation. Again, the devil took him up on a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to them, all these I will give you if you will what? Fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. All this is yours if you'll fall down and worship me. Now, if we had unlimited time, we could debate whether or not Satan was even making a true offer, right? Did he even have the capacity to offer all of the earthly kingdoms? We'll save that for another day. Let's just focus on the temptation itself. Fall down and worship me. This would simply be the misplaced glory. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. What is glory? The word is, oh, this is the best one, doxa, as in doxology. Did you know? That's the glory word. That's where it comes from. Yours is the doxa. The doxology, yours is the honor, yours is the glory, yours is the renown, yours is the splendor. You see, if Jesus had bowed down in that moment, he would have been giving the honor, the renown, and the splendor to the wrong guy, right? That is misplaced glory. And before we say, I would never do that, because we're tempted to say that, aren't we? Oh my goodness, that's ridiculous. I would never do that. In the world in which we live, ascribing glory to things other than God is more and more and more common and easy. It's particularly easy to bring about our own glory in a world where you can build fame for all sorts of things. Ask a young person today what they want to be, and before you hear all the classic things that have always been said, the typical first response is a YouTuber. A YouTuber. Why? Have a channel. Have a million subscribers. What a great way to make money. I would also say that could bring about some glory for yourself, right? That could be a slippery road. Not that I'm judging, but simply that I'm offering it. We all want to be somebody. That temptation is a long time temptation. And it's easy to ascribe glory to the wrong things in order to build reputation or bring about a sense of worth in our lives. We can ascribe glory to possessions. And if you're thinking, gosh, this has a dotted line back to kingdom. Yep, yes it does. Jesus is inviting us really from three different angles to remember that he is it and we are not. Right? And one of those angles is challenging in your life. I really believe it. Maybe all three are. Then you're right there with me. There are so many avenues to elevate our own glory. What I want you to see, we're going to look at one more passage. We're going to Isaiah. What I want you to see is that this is actually Luther's downfall. So I'm now in Isaiah 14, and this is quick, but I just want you to listen to how stark his quest for glory was through these words in Isaiah. I'm in Isaiah 14, chapter 14, verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut to the ground, you who laid the nations low. Listen for how many I will statements. Here we go. You said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly, on the heights of Zaphon. I will ascend to the tops of the clouds. And here comes the big one. I will make myself like the Most High. Misplaced glory. Misplaced glory. Do we see what a big temptation that might be in our lives? See, I think that Jesus is cueing in to three places where we are tempted to choose poorly. And that the conclusion of this prayer, and by the way, you won't find these words always as the Lord's Prayer is written in Scripture. And that's because they appear in about half of the early manuscripts, and about half they're not there. How curious. However, I will say this. I really believe that they sum up that doxological attitude and the threads that are present through the entire prayer. And without this attitude, we cannot have the mind of Christ. Bottom line. So I want to ask you this morning, how are you doing with this doxological attitude? How are you doing with kingdom, with power, with glory? Which one of those rises to the top for you as the most difficult one? And how, then, might the Spirit be inviting you to realign your life each time you speak those words? I would invite you this week to re-examine your spiritual routines and to pay attention to every word you speak, because sometimes our sign-offs are opportunities to help us delve even more deeply into the life that is our highest and best life in Christ. And that is what the doxological attitude is about. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. May you and I live that way.